You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Let's be honest. Anyone can plant a garden, but it takes a special kind of somebody to plant dreams. Tonight's guest is the latter. Tando Milner is more than an entrepreneur. She's a cultivator of beauty, resilience, and possibility. Through Garden with Tando, she has turned seeds into stories and soil into a sanctuary, teaching us that growth is not just something that happens in the earth, it's something that happens in the soul. Here, or hers rather, is a story, a journey of vision meeting grit, of creativity meeting commerce, and of building something with your own two hands that the world can see, touch, and experience. She's not just selling plants. Please make no mistake, what she is selling is the joy of nurturing life, the magic of patience, and the art of creating spaces that breathe. Tando, welcome to the show. It is such a joy to have you here.
And beautiful. Hi, Sunny.
How are you?
This night. It's such an honor to be here. That was fantastic.
Oh, man. You are so welcome here. We are happy to have you.
It's an honor. Thank you for having me.
Tando, take us back to the beginning. Who is Tando Milner beyond the business? And what journey actually brought you to Garden with Tando?
Oh, that's a beautiful question. So Tando is someone who loves spending time in nature. Firstly, to listen to and enjoy God's music. The birds, you know. I find their songs soothing to both the mind and the heart.
That's so interesting. But you're calling them songs.
There's something that the songs of God do to me. And I also love garden. It's a big part of who I am outside of the business. And just learning how to be sustainable and exploring the practices that come with it. I love to read out of curiosity and for knowledge. And I enjoy the company of beautiful people who appreciate meaningful conversations as well as peaceful moments. So yes, in short, that is who Tando is and what got me here. Oh, girl, we need to start at the beginning.
That's exactly what I want. That's exactly what I want.
Okay, how would you like me to take you there? Would you like a brief story of how it came to be?
Whatever story you believe will do this conversation justice, we've got time.
We got time.
Yes. So,
I will start with the gardening part in which who Garden with Tando is. So Garden with Tando is a brand, or rather a subdivision that evolved from Tuli Foundation, an NGO whose aim is to create a comprehensive library of sustainable practices to promote environmental and social responsibility.
Okay.
So yes, that's where it stems from initially. So it deals with agriculture. So I founded the foundation. From there, everything evolved. So it's one step that took me to the next step. But yeah, that's how I eventually got here.
Yeah, Tando, I lied. I said everyone can garden.
No.
I'm not everyone. I can tell you now, I'm not everyone. I can't even keep a little pot plant alive. So why does this matter so much to you? And when did you realize, yo, I've got green hands? And maybe these green hands can do more than just plant.
Oh, that's a good question. Well, it all started, let me take you back to my grandmama's house. My grandmother had beautiful plants.
Yeah.
And growing up, every time you had something, she used to take you back to her garden. Get this, get that.
Yeah.
And then over time, we lost the art of, you know, planting herbs and things that heal us, you know. Garden is very therapeutic. So, and then I had convictions based on my environment where I grew up, with the men around my environment, how the environment impacted them. Those were my friends who passed on early, who had models who behaved in a sense, you know, we have that, the environment that tells us that criminal
is the only way.
So, yeah, I watched a lot of friends die. My brother was struggling. And the one thing they always say is, well, I'm doing this because I'm hungry. You know, back then I was so vulnerable. So when I grew up, I was like, okay, I'm going to create a space where men can go and teach themselves how to feed themselves. So they only if they're hungry. Then you have time to focus on something else. So that's when I started the foundation in 2020. So the aim was to redirect the mentalities of white from a negative to a positive space, marrying it with agriculture while dealing with the four spheres of growth. So then I was like, okay, I never want to be found short. So now that's what the agriculture deals with. So it worked.
You know, gardening can be seen as a very feminine activity. And as I'm hearing you talk about who birthed the idea in you, rather, or who put the spark of the idea in you, it's men, brothers, our uncles. So how do you marry this seemingly or this traditionally or culturally feminine activity with the of men?
I was so crazy. That was you. What is so crazy is I grew up around a lot of men.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
And which is true, people see it as a feminine thing. But there is a whole aspect of labor towards it, you know. And there's some works that I see that need me, like, you know, when I do seeds, it's a delicate work, you know, men are bored much, and, you know, but it teaches you patience.
Yeah.
That's why I think gardening has changed my perspective and how I deal with people, relationships, colleagues, you know, people around me and how I care for people. So sometimes people require water. You know, some of our friends are succulents, some are roses, you know, some are trees. And we need to understand what type of plant requires requirements, you know, and how to deal with it. Sometimes when I could put compost where you need succulent mix. So I've learned to be patient, you know. I've learned to appreciate people for who they are and where they fit in the puzzle. So gardening is not just a feminine sport. It's a mental sport, you know. It's a bet on yourself. It's, I can do this. It's learning how to have responsibility. That's why men have to enter into it and understand it creates a sense of responsibility. Being responsible for this plant, making sure you cater to every need, and that's what men require, because eventually they will have to grow into being heads of, you know, a house, you know, leading someone, creating their own family, and that's where leadership begins, in the garden.
Tando, hold on. I've got two things I want to say to you. One is a technical situation, the other is a very emotional one. So I'm a person who loves giving feedback, right? I'm hearing you say a lot of things and I want to respond. But what I'm realizing is every time I respond, the sound cuts and I think my people won't be able to hear everything you say. So I want you to know as you are speaking that I am mming and ahhing and oohing and all of that. But I'm not going to do it out loud because I don't want to cut your sound. Is that okay?
No problem. Do it, Mama.
Fantastic. Secondly, you've just said something so profound in contrasting and comparing different plants to the minds and the experiences and the characters of different people. And I'm going to go off script a bit, and I'm going to ask that you actually take us through some of the characteristics or characters you found in some of the men you've worked with, and do that to help somebody right now. And maybe let's have a scenario type thing. So somebody who's just gotten into a relationship, right? And I know we can't generalize, but just generally, somebody okay. who's just gotten into a relationship, a young woman, possibly in her late 20s, early 30s, she's just gotten into a relationship and she's trying to navigate this complex individual that is a man. So that's the first one. The second one is a mom who's raising a boy and is utterly frustrated because she's a girl. She was raised in a matriarchal home and all she knows is just women. But here's this little boy who is finishing her energy. So talk to us about how she can raise that boy. And then finally, a woman who's in possibly the middle point of their marriage. Let's say they've been married for 10, 15 years and they've been growing old together at this point, but it's just like, I don't know, maybe this garden is dying, this marriage is dying. So how can they consider the idea of agriculture and planting in reviving that marriage? So it's three scenarios. You can take them at your own pace, start with whichever one you want. But just please bring this garden to the airwaves. I cannot wait. I'm going to lower my volume or mute myself because I want to be in this moment and I want everyone to hear it.
Oh, thank you so much, Mpumi. I love the scenario. So I'm going to begin with the second scenario of the mother, you know, dealing with the boy child, you know, stressing over the realities of being a woman and how to raise a man. And in society, men always think that they can't take leadership from women most times, but leadership always begins with your mother. Everyone starts from their mom. There's a African proverb that says that we judge a child by their mother. Mm. It's by their father because, you know, we drink from our mothers. We spend time from our mothers. So in a sense, it's all about understanding, especially as females, we don't generally understand that men and women are designed differently. Men use logic, you know, and framework to think while we use emotions and put logic into it later. So as a boy mom trying to navigate, even though I've never been a mom, but I've seen how my mom navigated my brother's environment. And I can say with what I've seen in the garden, I always used to recoil at worms, lizards. You know, I never used to like them. I was like, why is it necessary in the garden? But the minute I started to invest time, you know, what you focus on gets measured. So I started to focus on learning what are worms. And then I started to understand the importance of worms within the garden and how they cultivate the soil, you know, they break it up, they produce, you know, so we don't have to dig the ground, because that's what the worms are for. They're there to make the soil soft. So the minute I understood that, I started changing my mind and perspective in how I deal with the worms. I started getting closer with them. So with the mother in that situation, it's sometimes stop trying to command a man, but start trying to walk side by side with the boy child. You know, it's not about authority or coming over them. You most likely to get a beautiful relationship if you become a friend who can then put an input in what they do. So I think mothers of boy child, they can definitely have a relationship with them, since I've led a team of 10 men, and that was hard. I made a lot of mistakes, but they taught me that it's better to be a friend than to be an enemy. Mm. Yeah, men, you need to walk alongside with them. Definitely.
Ooh, I'm loving this. I'm loving this again. I'm ooing and mmming and whoa. So powerful. That thing about the worms. Because the instincts we have is to just cast it away. Worms are rot for us. Worms are dirt. And we don't ever want to associate with it. Little knowing that it facilitates the growth and the tenderness.
Imagine. And now you begin differently. And it's a matter of sometimes how we as parents, we have, we already come in being parents, already trying to live out our kids. You have to allow your kid to be whoever they need to be with circumstances from your side, loving them with conditions, because a lot of parents love their kids with conditions, in which your child is also supposed to teach you how to be a child again. So a relationship with a parent, like I said, it's us walking alongside each other while you are teaching and I'm aspiring. So parents tend to miss that. They're thinking they're there to be a leader, but you are just there to guide.
So good. Let's go to the next scenario. I'm going to quiet myself because it keeps doing that thing again. Let's go.
So you said they're in a 10-year marriage. Let me recap.
Mm-hmm. And then there's a new relationship. It's still honeymoon. Kusasemnandi.
Oh, it's the third one. Was it the first one or the third one?
The third one was the couple that's been married for a bit and things are starting to die down.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
Let me tell them. I'm the couple that's supposed, the couple that's experiencing maybe a dial down within their relationship. Maybe I can add on something there on what I've learned within my relationship, because currently I've been married for 3 years in a relationship for 10 years. So my husband and I lived together maybe close to, out of the 10 years of the relationship, 9 years.
Okay.
And at times things are just not stale. At times we have learned not to evolve with our partners and acknowledge who they are or are becoming. Things I used to like when it was the beginning of our relationship, I do not like anymore. And sometimes who we are as people, how we change careers and everything else, we lose touch of the relationship. So we make the external world who we are, and we end up becoming enemies within the relationship. A relationship always has to evolve. It becomes stale because sometimes we are caught up in who our partner is. We are in level 10, but you're still looking at your partner like they were in level 1. So I think that's what sometimes creates discourse within a relationship. Sometimes not evolving with your partner how you should, in which we can regard this to plant. When you planting something specific, you want your spinach, you know, but there the weeds are. They're the involuntary plants trying to come up and ruin everything. And you have to actively take those weeds out, you know, those voluntary plants. You're like, voluntary plants, but I need all my energy focus in all my spinach, something that will sustain me. And sometimes we look at the outside world and we think our partners, because we've gotten so used to them, we think now we've outgrown them. And sometimes that's not the case. Sometimes you have your own perspective about your partner, because out there you are not dealing with bills with another woman, in which eventually it'll get there. So at the end of the day, it's learning how to look at our people with new light, because I've found that I make people beautiful. I stop looking at them with beauty, then they cease to be beautiful. They become absolute. So it's all about taking it easy. Make them beautiful again, you know?
That's so good.
Yeah, find that smile again. I mean, you know, it's easy to look for beauty, which not to, even in the chaos. There is something beautiful about it. I remember when my husband and I were going through something, and I was like, okay, so what do we do now? It was so hectic. It was like, I was like, are we going to break up? I was like, and then he asked me, okay, think about this. Let's say we build a house, and then the house has now a crack. So are we going to break down the whole house because the house has a crack? No, we're going to fix the crack. Keep building, because the foundation is the one that is strong. It's the cornerstone of the relationship. So cannot break everything because now it's scarred, or now it has a crack, or, you know, now it's getting old. It's still a classic, you know? So, yes. Try to look at your partner anew. Everything becomes beautiful every day. Even life. I look at life every day like it's beautiful. Automated our view. And we've become numb to the beauty of life. Yeah.
Oh, I love that. The new relationship.
A new relationship. Okay, they're stressing. Can you recap on the new relationship?
No, they've just started out trying to navigate the newness of it all. Maybe even fixated on what they know about women and themselves as a girl, I guess. And now having to, you know, navigate the space with the sky. And what do I do? Am I getting this whole thing wrong?
Ooh. This tames beautifully with a book I once read, The Four Agreements. So it always says, be impeccable with your word, always stay true to who you are. Don't make assumptions, because we like making assumptions. So communication and comprehension is good in the beginning of the relationship. Don't expect, don't demand, just flow. Right, because we need to enjoy. That's the whole point. Know each other without anything trying to control how we learn about each other. And don't take anything personally. Try to learn the person, you know. If you don't have clarity, ask them, okay, what's this, what that, you know. Tell them what you love, not, you know. And maybe see then how they take things on. But the last one is always do your best, you know. It's a risk. All relationships
are such a risk.
At the end of the day, but always do your best. Always show up as who you absolutely can be at that season, at that particular moment. But definitely, relationships are a beautiful way for someone to witness your life, you know. Someone in you evolve, you've witnessed life with them, you aging with them, and you learn a lot of lessons along the way. You know, it's seasons.
Oh, I love that. Let's get back to business. Let's get back to garden with Thando. You've built something that feels deeply personal. How do you go about funding your vision and turning it into this reality that keeps feeding souls?
Funding. Oh, I love it. Well, I keep looking for ways to fund it, because I cannot wait and depend on grants. You know, so I've found 5 years in, the community is who makes the difference.
Oh, wow.
It's always the people who don't have who give. It's quite fascinating. And, you know, the big corporates and all that, you know, it's a long road there. It's a lot of corruption. But however, the society makes the big impact. And I try in a lot of ways to make that money. I think 3 years ago, I launched the Accountability Fund. It's a partnership between the society and the Spiritually Foundation. We're keeping each other accountable for the advancement of our society. And you can donate 100 rand towards the foundation every month. And that goes towards financial aid, food schemes, mentorship programs. You know, we're trying to build art centers. So, yeah, that's the design or the product in which the Spirit Luthuli Foundation sells in order to, you know, get there. I want to relaunch it again, you know, and you know, get back in within the community. The second one is my subsistence farm that you know now as Garden with Tando. So instead of waiting or going and asking, in which I've done, and I've been to asking big companies to give you the groceries and you must wait and you must fight, I decided, let me create that subsistence farm. So then I have a chain to do something. So I don't have to wait for someone in order to do something. Then I can actually sustain the foundation within itself without needing to wait for other people to help me do that. Yeah, so that's why we built the garden. And with also campaigns, the ones that we get on Garden with Tando, we work with the likes of Garden Master, you know, we've worked every day. So that's how I bring in funds as well. But first, the most important one, it was me.
Yeah.
Most of my money
that's how a lot of these starts. You bootstrap.
Definitely. You put all in it. And when I did this Pure Luthuli Foundation, I just got retrenched. So I spent most of my money and my effort towards this Pure Luthuli Foundation. Okay, I'm trying to open foundations.
Yeah.
So, definitely. Yeah.
One thing I know for a fact is that it is not glamorous at all. None of it is glamorous. No. And so please paint us what your day-to-day looks like. What does a typical day in your world look like?
Yeah, my typical day is I wake up at 4:30 in the morning.
Okay.
I go to gym at 5:00. At 6:00, I'm back. And then my husband and I, he's getting ready for work. And then I have the garden to attend to. And I go out there, do some work. It's a lot of work. We spend 4 hours of it of the day. I do a lot of reading. I study theology as well. So studying. I'm going to, I do something good for the day, even if it's for one individual, whether I go buy something for someone, I pay school fees, or but one good deed for the day. You know, if you had two good deeds you have to do for the month, you know, then you just do one good deed for the day. And I do emails, you know, succession plans, policies for the foundation. I have directives for it. Then we discuss where we can go. I plan other programs with other foundations as well. Ooh, and we did one when last year, the spelling and reading competition throughout. So yes, that's what my day-to-day becomes different. Depending on what, but what stays consistent is the foundation, is my studies, you know.
Oh, bees, yeah. You are so busy. But I love that it's a kind of busyness that serves other people as well. It is so beautiful, something to be proud of, and definitely something to highlight and commend, even on air. You know, it's really, really beautiful. I can't remember who said this. It might be Mahatma Gandhi, might be somebody else. But it says, you make a living by what you earn and a life, or what you get and a life by what you give. And so you keep making lives everywhere you go and every day. And that is really commendable. Keep doing that. It's beautiful.
Thank you, Mommy.
And the biggest challenges that you face in running Garden with Tando, what are they? And how do you find yourself overcoming them?
Oh, in running Garden with Tando. Finances. The biggest challenges, which are, well, you have expectation as a person, you know, I'm going to go there, you know, I'm going to get grants, I'm going to run the world, you know, I'm going to change lives. But in doing this, you find that, especially with foundations, there's a thin line in which you're helping people And the other is when they become a dependent on you, you know. And that's a very, and what has challenged me from before I used to give. And what I have learned is that saying is that give a man a fish, they eat for a day, and give a man a fishing rod, they eat for a lifetime. I'm to believe that as I have done the work, it's very important. There's this guy who's been in foundations for over 40 years. I think his name is Joseph. I thought God, but he wrote a book on foundation. So you give someone something, they appreciate it. You know, they're very thankful. The second time they expect it. You know. It's anticipation. The third time they expect it. The fourth time they're entitled. The fifth time you've created a dependent. So, yeah, at the end of the day, you need to understand where giving has a limit. You know, where your giving as a foundation ends and where their limits have to begin. Sorry, where their aspirations have to begin as humans. You know? So that's the reality of running. Sorry, mommy, when your whole purpose was to give and now you learn how to restrict. It's shocking.
Yeah, the tension can be very conflicting. I can imagine. I can imagine because you also don't want to disempower or enable people that you want to elevate, you know?
Definitely. So how do you work within that very thin line? A challenge and in finding out while working within the space of NGOs, it's quite interesting.
Yeah. And how do you balance the demands of being in the space with your own personal and family life?
Ooh, it's quite hard.
Yeah. Purpose work is so demanding. You feel like you have to give your all.
Yes, you give your all to, and sometimes you don't understand how that unhealthy is, and you start have to go back and understand what have I been doing wrong, and what I've been working on to not give from an empty cup, but one that overflows, no matter how much it may hurt me. Because sometimes we might look at someone in the streets and say, oh, Sham, they're in the streets. And then sometimes when you ask them, why are you in the streets? It seems like you are committing treason by asking that question. While someone else who gives you that one rand, if I give you one rand every day, I even become a normal customer. You know, start knowing you by name. Now you start being scared to drive at that robot because you're Joseph. Now you start... there's welcome. Yo, there's terrible. You know, you start forming these relationships. And like 5 years, you see them in the streets. They start deteriorating. And you're like, am I actively participating in killing this man?
Yo.
You start asking those questions. You're like, is this good? Because sometimes we can do good in the wrong way, you know. It's understanding because you can say, I'm doing good. But sometimes we do it in a wrong way in which it can impact the other person because we don't understand our intentions. That's what I've been learning.
Oh, geez, man. Oh, you know, as I'm listening, I'm just like, everybody wants to do nonprofit work. Everybody wants to do this mission-driven, purpose-based work. But it comes at such a cost. And I don't say this to deter anybody. I think everybody should be operating in a profession that is in line with their purpose. But it demands a lot. It demands you. There's a song that's sung in the gospel spaces that says it takes everything. It takes your everything to serve the Lord. Your time, your means, your prayers. It takes your all. And it really takes your all.
It does take your all, and at times you will get into a space when then you're expecting, I'll be accepted. And the context of what I do when I deal with men, I get a lot of, you know, a pushback, you know. I get discriminated. I'm in rooms where I have to deal with men because I'm in a male-dominated industry. And, you know, sometimes you you have to put your emotions aside. You have to learn how to be cold in order to do something good, you know. You have to, you know, learn to suppress things, because now you cannot, you know, be found bleeding in front of vultures. You get what I'm saying? As someone said, in order to be respected by men, you have to earn the respect of a man. And men don't take it lightly to be led by a woman. So I cannot possess certain emotions as who I am, you know, if I'm in these spaces. I cannot be too girly, because yeah. I'm in rooms where I want to be respected by men, not to be fancied by them. You know, there's a lot in which it needs to die so this particular person can exist. You know, convictions are very hard, and passions are very hard, and people take them lightly. Sometimes you get so, why am I doing this?
Yeah, why am I doing this to myself?
Yeah, and you like, they don't care. You're angry. Moment you're like, no, but I'm doing this, because at the end of the day, if we have the man that take on responsibility, it also as women, and it also protects children. At the end of the day, one thing is a good thing for the collective, you know.
Yeah,
we've seen it in our communities, men destroying families, women destroying men. But now, how do we create that balance?
Yeah.
How do we create a blueprint of men who want to take on that responsibility as much as the blueprint or generation of women who were there, even if they didn't want to be? Because duty says you have to be, because duty supersedes preference at any day, you know. Moses had to do it. All over in the Bible, we see it, you know. Abraham, everyone had to possess a certain character of duty. Even Jesus had to do his duty, you know. Everyone has duty. So at the end of the day, that's understanding how to do our duty.
Yeah. So, hectic. Tell me, where do your best ideas come from? And how do you keep creativity flowing even when business pressures mount?
The best ideas. That's a good one. Honestly, I think my best ideas come from convictions. I think the next step then informs the next step. Most of it came from just when I took the leap. And it's all about understanding how you want to live out your life, you know. It's a matter of, maybe Jesus understood his end before he understood his journey.
Sure.
So from a very young age, I always understood my end. And now every step, no matter how random it may be or intentional it may be, it's all trying to get me to one spot. T.D. Jakes once said that we live life on New Year's resolutions, you know. You can't plan in months. How do you know that you're actually getting there?
Yeah,
you
know?
So like they ask you, if they ask us, when were you born? I'll say, I was born in the 80s. I'm a 90s baby. You know, always say our age in decades, but we never say our plans in decades. Why is that? How do you know how far you've been if you never put plans in decades? So my plans have I've always had them young. So I think my motivation has always been informed by my convictions.
Yeah.
And my goal, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah. And what motivates you towards those goals and those plans when the seasons of business feel dry or difficult?
What motivates me?
Mm.
I guess what motivates me is my recollection of what I've done.
Yes.
I think what motivates me is the things I've done and I have evidence of.
A track record.
Yeah, a track record. Thank you. It's a track record that motivates me. Because I do things so random. Sometimes I don't even know how I did that.
Yeah.
So what motivates me is my track record, because everything is always anew and new. So, you know, we are always learners in everything. I have something new to learn. So if I had something specific that motivates me, I wouldn't be able to learn. But my track record tells me I can do something.
Yeah.
But I guess that's what motivates me. Me always saying yes and never disappointing myself.
That is such a big one. Never disappointing yourself, because I think people find it generally difficult to disappoint other people, but so easy to disappoint themselves.
Definitely.
You say, I'll go to gym, and you don't see the doors of gym for another 2 years. I'll eat healthy and ubiza makuinya. And it's those things that really chip away at us believing and even being able to do things, because how can I trust myself to actually do it when the last time I said I'll do something, I never did it? So what you're saying is so profound.
Oh, I love that. That's why most people ask me, how are you so confident? Mm. I always tell them, because I have a track record. You cannot have confidence if you don't have a track record of always betting on yourself.
I'm reading a message here that says, get out of my business, Mpumi and Thando. Keep your promises to yourself. And we do this so much, man. We do this so much. And I know you say that your journey started with you being retrenched, right? But I'm curious about whether you would change anything if you could start over, knowing what you know now. Is there anything you would do differently?
Anything I would do differently? Oh, that's a good question. It's simple but tough. Honestly, well, what I would do differently is to jump in 10 minutes earlier. You know? Because that some lessons will be learned whether I jump in at 20 or 40. So I better fail quickly and, you know, be more courageous, you know, in learning in front of people, you know.
Yeah.
Because what life has taught me is some are there to criticize and that's okay, others there to watch. But there are those who will teach you. But regardless, all of them are teachers. So I'm 10 minutes earlier. I wouldn't change anything about me because I don't think I would be me. But definitely to jump in 10 minutes earlier in everything I do.
Hey, that's resonating with me so much, because there's a huge decision I had to make in 2020 and I ended up making it in 2023. And I've got the scars to prove it. I've got the scars to prove it. Because what we don't realize also is that obedience is time sensitive.
Definitely.
And even though God extends grace to us, the truth is there's so much you would have missed in the time that he said to jump and you chose not to. There's so much growth that you forfeited that you need now in 2025, but because you hadn't jumped 3 years ago, you're not even ready for the opportunities that were going to find you now. You're underdeveloped for what is required from you now because you chose to jump 10 minutes later, to use your words. And it's time. Obedience is time sensitive. Yes, God will extend the grace, but it's like somebody who drank themselves to a stupor every weekend and now they're sick, their kidney is failing, and somebody gives them a kidney. Yeah, sure, you've been granted another opportunity, but you have suffered. And there are other parts of your body that are there to prove that you have suffered. Had you just kept it okay back then and, you know, obeyed God even with your body, it was going to be a different story. So I love what you're saying about just jump 10 minutes earlier, or just as God is calling you to jump, because any minute later, you will pay for it.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
That is so true. I also have the scars. Hey. That was so pounding for me.
Hey. Thank you. What short-term milestones are you most focused on right now? And what's the biggest dream for Garden with Thando?
What are my short-term and long-term milestones?
Yeah.
Ooh. Let me be honest. I generally don't know what my short-term goals are.
Okay.
Because I do what I need to at that particular point, but informed by my long-term goals. Mm-hmm. But So my long-term goals, what they were, is when I was growing up, I always told my mom, I want to build a school. I want a hospital. I want a supermarket. I want a bank. You know, I want a business. I want a foundation. So I wanted these whole, these six kingdom builders, you know, around me. Schools to be taught, hospitals to be healed, you know, supermarkets so where they can eat right, banks, their legacies, you know.
An entire ecosystem.
Businesses that deal with, you know, the humans, that take care of them, and the foundation that in turn heals the environment around it. So those are the six pillars I really do want to build. And then I started researching. I was like, okay, which one is the cheapest? Which one I can start with? And then I went and did research on all these things. I was like, oh, school, millions, move around, hospital, for now, bank, away, it's hot in here, like the venue push. I was like, and then I was like, let me do foundation, thinking it was the easiest, but I'm finding it out to be the hardest because it requires most of my mental capacity, you know. It requires to really change who I am to fit what it is. So that's what's hard, that I didn't understand about the foundation. So I started the foundation. I was like, okay. Hey, it taught me flames. I was like, okay, one down. And then 2022, I established another business called Boss Order. It deals business intelligence. So that's where we do deal with the human aspect. So I found that one, I was like, okay, number two in check. And then because I've built the subsistence farm, I'm thinking the supermarket is next. So we next to our third dream. So now, depending on what I can do in one particular way, my short-term goals changed, or on what I can do at that moment, or what that holds at that moment, and the finances I have. So all those pillars then inform my short-term goals.
Oh, that's so beautiful. I cannot believe we are left with 2 minutes in this conversation. Where did time go? I'm so into it. I'm just like, I lift my head 1 minute and it's already 50 minutes later. Crazy.
Wow.
Right. But as we wrap this up, looking back, what has been your most satisfying moment in Garden with Thando, or in the work that you've done so far? And I'm pretty sure there are many, but one that you can share with us right now that really solidified that you are exactly where you are supposed to be, doing the thing you were created to do.
Oh, I think it's when my thoughts were made reality. Really see what I worked for in front of me with all my tears, my hard work, my sweat. When my thoughts were made reality, I was like, this is my biggest win. Not when everything was going right, not when I had, but when finally, when spiritual data became a reality, that showed me discipline, you know? My husband always says, you will always find excuses for your inability to change.
Yeah.
So I've never... And I was like, you know what? The bets that others place on we place on ourselves. That bet, that's the biggest win.
Yeah. You know what? I just want to wrap this up by saying, this is so good. It's been so good. I'm really trying to get the words that are sitting. It's like the words are sitting on my heart, but I'm trying to bring them, you know, to the mic, and I'm struggling because this has been such a heartfelt conversation. I mean, from nurturing seedlings to nurturing dreams and people's actual lives, I think you prove that the same principle applies in both of those. We plant with care, we tend with consistency, and we have the patience to wait for the harvest. Because I think a lot of times we want to plant, but we don't want to wait for the harvest. And we don't realize that the real growth, whether it's in business and in life, happens in the unseen seasons. You know, when I learned that the tree has to experience a winter to deepen its roots and to strengthen its roots. So we only celebrate in summer, but we don't realize that if there wasn't a winter, this tree would fall. And all the fruits would be on the ground because they wouldn't be strengthened enough to stand and withstand all the other seasons that are coming. So thank you so much for bringing your wisdom and your cheerfulness. There was so much joy even as you were speaking and your story to us tonight. We've learned so much. I know that my producer, where she is, she's just like, I care. They are talking about me, these people. And, you know, to everyone who's been listening, I just want to give you a charge. Go out and plant something beautiful, both in your garden. I'll try it, Ando, I promise you, but also in your life. And when you have the chance, jump in 10 minutes earlier. Thank you so much for coming through.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Pumi.
This was beautiful. How can people support you? Where do people find your work and interact and engage with you?
You can find me on Instagram at Pure Lutuli Foundation, on TikTok at Garden with Tando. And we're currently building up YouTube at Garden with Tando. So definitely, I am everywhere and anywhere.
Doing amazing work, and we love you so much for it. Thank you so much for coming through.
Thank you so much. Have a lovely evening, everyone.
Cheers.
Cheers.
I do not want to mess any of that up by adding more words. I am Nompumelelo Mbonane, and I hope you have just made sense of your business. Fresh mercies tomorrow. For now, ciao.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.